Bibles this evening in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 7. Seventh chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Let's follow the reading, please, in the Word of the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 7. We commence reading at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture saith, that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto him, He that came to Jesus by night being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. We end our reading there. We keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Spirit of God, we thank Thee for Thy Word this evening. We thank Thee that Thy Word is a pure Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is a piercing Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is a powerful Word. And we pray that it might come with power to our hearts, that it might pierce into the very hearts of men and women that have sat so carelessly and indifferently and nice at our past and young people. Father, we pray that that pure Word may come, and, O God, reveal to us and reveal to mankind their lostness and their sinfulness, their depravity. Show them the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is the light of the world. And so by Thy Holy Spirit, O God, this evening, take of this Thy Word. Write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And this night may salvation visit this place. May souls be saved, lives be changed by the power of the Gospel. And Father, glory and honor brought to Thy Son. We pray in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want you to look at verses 37 and 38 of John chapter 7 this evening. It says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I've often heard it said by the older generation, whenever they think about the present situation, they think about the past, they say, we never had anything, but we were happier than they are today. And it is true that many of the older generation could truthfully and rightly say, we really had nothing. They didn't have anything or had very much in their upbringing. But they're a lot happier than people are today. You see, it's true that people have a lot of comforts today. It's true they have a lot of things to entertain them. And yet if you look on the faces of humanity tonight, you'll find that they're not happier or they're not satisfied. They have a lot of things. They have a lot of toys to keep them going. They have a lot of pleasures, a lot of entertainment. A lot of social activities. And yet I would believe with all my heart that we're living in a most dissatisfied generation that's always looking for that something more. That something more. You hear today that you didn't hear in years that are past, children say, I'm bored. In reality, their lives are empty. It's not that they haven't things. They have plenty of things. But you see, the things that they have only occupy them for a moment. They have them for a little while. They're consumed with them. They're taken over with them. You couldn't get them away from them. And then the next thing, they just cast it down, fed up with it. I'm bored. I'd have been afraid to say it, I'm bored when I was growing up. My father would hand me a bucket and told me to go and feed something or do something. And that'll take the boredness out of you. But you never thought of it. To be honest, you never thought of it. You never imagined that word. That's the buzzword of this generation. And yet they have everything as far as what money can buy. This is the day of the I wants. I want this. I want that. I need this. I need that. Occupied for a moment. Ah, but to be truthful, yet they need more. It's always that more. We're also living in a restless generation. There's little stability in the generation in which we live today. Little stability in homes. Little stability in job, occupation, position. And yet, my friend, there is a desire, I believe, in many hearts. There's that desire after happiness, after satisfaction. It's that desire for happiness that makes the miser hoard his wealth and makes the spendthrift squander it. The man of business, the man of pleasure, the man of ambition, the man of letters, the man of religion. Oh, they have all different, they're treading different paths, but they're all moved by one desire. To be happy, to be satisfied. And yet the truth is this, that many never find it. They live and then they die. And friend, they live unhappy and they die unhappy. They live dissatisfied and they die unsatisfied. In actual fact, it was Solomon the king who said, the one who had everything that money could buy. And he said these words, therefore, I hated life. Therefore, I hated life. But I want you to show you, my friend, here is something that brings true happiness and true satisfaction. Let's look at the verses again. Verse 37, 38, chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want, if time permits us tonight, to look at four things. First of all, I want us to see here the incident. And then secondly, I want us to notice the invitation. And thirdly, the inheritance. And fourthly, the indictment. Well, we'll get through some of them. Let's first of all look at the incident. Let's paint the picture. What is happening here? What is happening here? What's the backdrop of these words that Jesus said? He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Why did Jesus say that? Surely the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just out of the blue say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why did Jesus say that specifically at that time? Why was he talking about thirst and water? Let me tell you just exactly why. Let me tell you just what was happening here. Let's look at the first words in verse 37 that probably you just passed over. In the last day, that great day of the feast. Now that sets the scene. That's the incident. In the last day, the great day of the feast. That's the background. That's the backcloth that brings this declaration and this invitation from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the feast of the tabernacles. That's what this is. The great day of the feast. It's called the feast. It is also called the feast of the Lord. It is also called the feast of the ingathering. That was the day. And I want to tell you just exactly what happened. Because you see, the feast of the tabernacles was celebrated for 7 days. 7 days. And what happened was this. Each Jewish family would leave their home. And they would build a tent-like structure. Sometimes they'd build it in their yard or upon some piece of property that they owned or on a piece of property that they secured for the occasion. But they moved out of their home for these 7 days. And they moved into this tent-like structure for that 7 day period. Now there was a reason. There were actually two reasons why they did that. First of all, they were celebrating the day when Israel wandered about in the wilderness as strangers and pilgrims without a homeland. And as they moved out of their homes and moved into this tent-like structure, it would bring before their minds the wilderness wanderings, the wilderness experiences of their forefathers. You see, now they were settled in homes. But there was a time when they weren't. There was a time that they were wandering in the wilderness, friend, and they had no homeland. And they had no home. And so they moved into the tent-like structure, reminding them of the days of their forefathers, lest we forget. You know, you and I have so much today, but let me tell you, the tragedy is this, that quite often when people get things and get places and get position, they just forget who they are. And I think it's a good experience when you just remember where you came from. And when you get haughty and proud and get carried away with yourself, and because you have a few letters after your name, or because you've got a few houses to your name, you forget exactly who you are, friend. And let me tell you, many a person gets obnoxious then. Because you couldn't stick them. And you couldn't stand them. Because they get carried away with themselves. God says, listen, leave your homes. And God says, don't you forget where you come from. Don't you forget your father's wanderings in the wilderness. Because they wandered as strangers and pilgrims. And let me tell you, my friend, don't you or I ever forget that. We're in this world, but we're not here to stay. You know, we as God's children tonight, those who are saved, you just remember this. This world is not my home. All I am in this world, Paul speaks about it, we are strangers and pilgrims. Of course, the unsaved person better remember that as well, because before they know, they'll be out into a lost eternity and they'll burn in hell. And the place that knows them now shall know them no more forever. That was the first reason why they left their homes at this special feast of the tabernacles and they dwelt in the tent-like structure. And then the second thing was this. The feast of the tabernacles was the feast of the ingathering. And the feast was a period of thanksgiving. Thanking God not only for the start of the harvest, but for the completion of the harvest. They had brought in the sheaves. And it was a time to thank God for His goodness and His graciousness to them. They were to be thankful for all that God had given them, all the fruit of the land that had enriched their lives. And did not the book of Deuteronomy say, when thou hast eaten and art full, beware. Why? Lest thou forget the Lord. You may be richly blessed, young man, but let me tell you, you remember as God has given you the health and strength, as God has blessed you.
You may have a sound body and a sound mind, but don't ever forget, it's God that has given that to you. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables, neither is there a shadow of turning. And so this was the feast. This was the time. Now let me take it further. On each of those 7 days, something happened. On each of those 7 days, the people came to the temple and they brought some fruit as an offering. And a few palm leaves and willow branches. And the branches were used to form a roof over the altar. And then the priest would take a golden pitcher. And he would lead the people in a procession. And in that procession, they would make their way down to the pool of Siloam. And when they would go to the pool of Siloam, the priest would put in the pitcher, that golden pitcher, into the water. And he would fill it with water. And then they would march back again. And during the march, the people played the flute and they sang. And when you open your Bible and you study it, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, they would sing those as they made their procession. It was on the return march that this significant drama took place. Remember, they were carrying the pitcher of water. And as the pitcher of water passed through what was known as the water gate into Jerusalem, the people repeated in unison what's given us in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. With joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And the people would repeat that in unison. And then they would take the pitcher and they would reach the altar. And when they came to the altar, they would pour out the water over the altar as an offering unto God. And whilst they would do that, the people would wave their palm branches and they would recite the words, Psalm 118, verse 25, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Remember, it was the feast of the ingatherings. And they were thankful in their heart that God had given them a bountiful harvest. But the idea here was this, that they were thanking God for the rain and praying for more rain and for a fruitful season that was coming. It was an acknowledgement of their total dependence upon God. They depended upon God for everything, even for the rain that brought the bountiful harvest. But then something else happened. The word here, verse 37, is this: in the last day, that great day of the feast. Remember, there were 7 days. And they would make their procession down to the pool of Siloam. And they would carry the water up. And as they would come through the gate, the people would sing, "With joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation." But on the 7th day, they went 7 times. On the 7th day, they made that procession 7 times. And it was on that day, as they made their way down to the well, and then they brought up the pitcher of water, and as they sang and as they rejoiced together in the goodness of God and the sending of the rain for the bountiful harvest and the blessing that God had given them, and they would come in through the water gate and they would sing praises unto God concerning the waters and the wells of salvation. Jesus stood up and he cried, "If any man thirst, to me,
and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the incident, friend. That's the backlog to this incident, this declaration of Jesus. Now notice two things before we quickly move on. Secondly, it says Jesus stood and cried. I said to you there are two interesting things there, two unusual things, because let me tell you, it says Jesus stood. A teacher in Bible times always sat. And they'd have been startled by this teacher, master. And Jesus stood. And then secondly, he cried. And the teacher would not do that in those days. Here he cried. And in other words, he shouted loudly. And the people were startled at what they heard. That's the incident. But look at the invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And in that, I see, first of all, the people who were invited. It says, if any man thirst. Now notice it says, here's a qualification, to bring them within the range of this invitation, all they had to do was thirst. Thirst is a tremendous thing. It's a person's parched and dry, it's an awful thing. I remember telling you before, and I say it again because it was true, I remember going to the hospital one night and I remember standing at the side of a wee man in the intensive care. And they didn't allow him to have any drink because of what it would do to his body. I remember he begged me to give him water. And I said to him, I can't do it. He said, I beg you, please. Get the nurse to give me water. And I went up to the nursing post there and I asked the nurse if she'd come down. And she spoke to him and he begged her for water. I'm so thirsty. I said, I can't give it to you. And then she said, I can give you, well, this is the best I can do. And she lifted a teaspoon. And she took the glass and she put the teaspoon and she filled the teaspoon with just half of the teaspoon with water. And that's all she gave him. And this is what he said to me. He says, Mr. McRae, I'm so thirsty. I would gladly give my little farm for one glass of water. I would gladly give my little farm for one glass of water. Then what must it be when a sinner dies and their sin goes to hell? And throughout the eternal ages of darkness and woe, cries, I thirst. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, whenever the rich man desired that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, and God's answer was, nay, no. The day of mercy is past forever. But we're not talking about a natural, physical thirst here. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. This is something deeper. It is a thirsting of soul. In the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 42, it says, as the hart panteth. And the hart is the deer. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for God. Let me ask you tonight, what about you?
be honest. Let's be honest. There's people in the service tonight, and they haven't a thought of God. Never mind a thirst for it. Not a thought of it. And instead of bowing before God and pleading the merits of the shed blood of Christ, to be honest before God, they are in opposition to God. And the lives that they live are in defiance of God Himself. But deep in their heart, my friend, after they put on the great show, after they have all the applause of those that are sitting around them and mixing the hard man, let me tell you before God, friend, that person knows there's something missing. I don't care who you are. If you're honest, you know that you're not satisfied. If you're honest, you know that there's something missing in your life. There's a void that has never been filled. There's an emptiness. There's a loneliness. Aye, and there have been times that you've had to admit it. But you don't want to do it tonight. So what have you tried to fill it with? You've tried to fill the thirst with the stagnant waters of the flesh. Immorality, drunkenness, indulgence, pride, lust. And you've been drinking at those waters, friend, because you're thirsty. Whether you admit it, you're not saying I'm crying for God. But you know you're thirsty. You know there's something that is missing in your soul. You're not satisfied. You're still thirsty. You know you're not happy. Far from it. Written across the countenance of the sinner, friend, let me be honest, on many occasions, though they might be laughing, though they might be, I think that they're putting on a show. That's what it is. Just a face. Because rippling deep in the soul of that person, friend, is misery. Misery. And others, of course, have gone to the stagnant waters of the world. Try to fill it with money. Try to fill it with cars. Try to fill it with houses. Try to fill it with clothes. Try to fill it with position. Try to fill it with power. Because they know. They know they're thirsty. But friend, listen, after all they're going, and after drinking at the stagnant waters of the world, and after drinking the stagnant waters of the flesh, it's like going to the salt water. It only makes you crave for more. It doesn't satisfy. Be honest. If I could pick some of you out personally in this service tonight and bring you to this pulpit, say, no, you're not going to give your testimony for Christ. You're not saved. But testify to what the world has done for you. Give your testimony. After you've drunk of the waters of the world, after you've drunk of the wells of the world and the flesh and the devil, testify. Tell the congregation, tell the people how you really do feel. Forget the show. Forget the facade. Forget the hard man. Give your testimony. You've tasted of the waters of the world, friend. But there is no satisfaction that lasts. Oh, there are pleasures in the world. There are joys in the world, friend, but they're only for a season. Be honest. They pass away. That's the people. Notice. Thirst. If any man thirst. Thank God, here's an invitation to you, friend. If any man, doesn't matter who you are, Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, or whether you're educated or illiterate. The people invited. Any man. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus cried out. There they were coming in the procession. And the priest carried upon his shoulder the pitcher of the water. They had gone to the Siloam pool one time and two times and three times and four times and five times and six times and seven times. They had gone in the procession to the pool of Siloam and they brought the water. But they had to go back again. It never really quenched their thirst. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, that's the people invited. Here's the person inviting. Let him come unto me. Unto Jesus. Why did Jesus say that? He said, let him come unto me and drink. And he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, Jesus says, I'm the source of living water. The one who will meet the desperate need of man. I and I alone, says Jesus, can give you living water. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. And if you come tonight honestly confessing your sin and acknowledging your lostness, you come to Him with your sin, friend. On the authority of God's Word, He says, I will give you rest. Not I might, not maybe, not you hope so. He said, I will give you rest. If you trust Him, if you take Him at His Word. In John chapter 4:14 it says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Have you come to Christ? He said, come unto me and drink. Come unto me, says Jesus. Revelation chapter 21 verse 6 says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You have been at the wells of the world this week, some of you. You have been at the watering dams of the world. But let me tell you, friend, you have to pay dearly for it. Jesus said, if you come to Him, He'll give you the water of life freely. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to me and drink. In other words, Jesus said, I'm the water of life. And He says, if you come to me and drink, in other words, you become a partaker of the blessing that will supply your need and satisfy your desire and your soul. He'll quench your thirst. And here's the inheritance. Look at verse 38 quickly. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Turn back to chapter 4. Lord Jesus tells us a story of the woman of Samaria. The woman who had tasted of the waters of the world, she had known what it was to sit down at the stagnant waters of the flesh. And yet she thirsted. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, notice this, shall be in him, a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Have you noticed that, friend? In him, a well of water. John 7, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You notice what the Holy Spirit is saying here? You notice what Jesus is saying? Listen. The living water that Jesus promises to give is a well that's placed within man. The well is not placed outside. Or the well is not placed alongside. The well is not placed in the world that we have to go and drink. It's not placed in our homes that we have to go and drink. It's not placed in our place of business that we have to go and drink. But Jesus says, if we come to Christ, he said, I will give you a well, and the well shall be in you. Christ. The well of living water. Christ in me. The hope of glory. And he places a well within us. And out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, when Christ comes in, he wants us not only to have drunk of the fresh wine that he has given us in the waters of life, but it reaches out to others, because out of our belly shall flow rivers of living. In other words, it'll reach to others. It'll be a blessing to others. Water refreshes. Water revitalizes. Water rejuvenates. Water energizes. Water purifies. Cleanses. And when Christ comes into our hearts, my friend, he will place a well of living water within you that will flow out to reach others around you. And he can make your life a blessing. Oh, what a sweet blessing God can make your life. What did Jesus say to that woman again? He said to her, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. It's one that springs up. Whenever I was a boy, we had a spring. It's still there. That flowed from the Bray Hills down to our house. And when all our waters had dried up and people were looking for water, when they had it from the authorities, and yet they were looking for it, but because of a drought, there was no water. And yet all the time in our yard, there was this big tank. And the water just flowed, summer, winter, autumn, and spring. It just went on flowing. And it was so fresh. And that's what the Lord promised. He said, listen, this well of water will be springing up. It will bubble up. It will flow on and on and on. It's ever in motion. And then notice what it says, springing up into everlasting life. In other words, it never ends. In other words, it's true contentment. It's true peace. It's true happiness. The water that I shall give him. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, says Jesus, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What happened? Here's the last thought, the indictment. Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hand on him. Verse 53. And every man went unto his own house. There is no record there of any of them drinking. Well, they heard the invitation. They knew that they were thirsty. Yes, some of them said, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. And then there was a division among them. Yes, the soldier said, never man spake like this man. But in the end of the day, every man won unto his own house. Listen, friend. We come to the end of the Lord's day again. You come in, young man, young woman, older person, without Christ, you come in thirsty. And the sad thing is this, that there are those that intend to go out the same way they came. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame. And every man went unto his own house. Tell me, what will you do with Jesus Christ tonight? He is the answer to your sin. Thank God he'll give you cleansing. He is the answer to your restlessness. He'll give you peace. He is the answer to your thirst, because he is the water of life. He is the answer to your hunger that's deep within, because he is the bread of life. But what will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? What shall your answer be? One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word this evening, and we thank Thee for the invitation of the gospel that comes to the sinner's heart. We pray for those in our gathering tonight that came in thirsty, come in our God without knowing the joy of Christ and the peace of God within their soul. God, we pray that you'll stop them. Bring them to the water of life, that they'll never thirst again. Pray for that young woman tonight, still without thee, craving after the things of the world, and yet is not satisfied. Pray for that young man tonight that is gathered in thy house, and Father, if he is honest, he knows he is drunken of the world this week. Sat down at the swine trough of the world and the wells of the world, and yet deep in his heart, he faces a new day, not satisfied. Oh God, bring them. Bring them to Jesus. As their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. And God's people are praying. If there's someone in this gathering right now, as a sister simply plays that little invitation verse, just as I am without one plea, And you're gathered in God's house, and the people around you that know the Lord are praying for you, sinner or backslider. Say, "Preacher, I'd love to know the water of life and drink at the fountain, which will never run dry." Then, sinner, come. Then, backslider, come. Come and welcome. Welcome to Jesus. You've been fighting Him, struggling against Him. He wants you to lay down the arms of rebellion. He wants you to come to Him. And if there's one in this gathering right now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, say, "Preacher, the cry of my heart is, lead me to Christ. As a backslider, lead me back to the Lord." Just lift that hand up right now. Is there one anywhere? Father, mother, son, or daughter. Then the invitation will be over in a moment. Opportunity will be passed. Oh, I beg you in God's name, don't play the fool. Come to Jesus. Is there one in the closing section? O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one as we close? O God, our Heavenly Father, Thou knowest every heart, the stillness, the quietness of Thy house. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'll speak. Oh, speak not to the ears, but, oh God, reach the heart. Take away the frivolity of time, the insensitivity about their soul. Oh God, in wrath remember mercy. Save the sinner and restore the fallen. And bless Your people. In Jesus' name.